Now tonight, if you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. From the pages of Old Testament prophecy, these illuminating words from the pen of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And he had every right to weep because of the captivity of God's people by the heathen nation Babylon. A reference to that and to its end and to the rejoicing of God's people from Jeremiah chapter 29, where I shall begin reading at verse 10. But first, I would like for you to join me in a word of prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for the opportunity of opening the Bible and reading from the pages of Old Testament prophecy those things that we can relate to our experiences even in the 20th century, so far removed in time and yet in principle so very near. Grant unto us tonight the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak forth Thy word with clarity and with boldness as Thou hast given it to us right in the pages of this blessed book. We pray for the young people. We pray for the parents and for the adults. We pray for all of the activities of the ministry of the church and for these moments of worship that we have tonight. May we make the best of them, realizing that this might well be the last for some of us. May we be inspired that we might go forth from this place endeavoring to establish a Christian testimony and a witness for Christ in our various communities. As we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake, with thanksgiving, amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. My text is in verse 13, particularly. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. Verse 13 again, and ye shall seek me and shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. It seems in 1968, in our bewildered times, that men are continually seeking something outside themselves. To me, this is an indication of a restlessness and a disturbance and a dissatisfaction from within. And men ought to be restless in the midst of a restless age. Men ought to be disturbed in the midst of difficult, trying, dark, perilous days in which we live. I think there ought to be, on the part of every born-again believer, dissatisfaction with the way things are going in the world tonight. But as we brought out to you this morning, much of the blame of that which is wrong in the world today can be laid at the doorstep of the Christian element in our society. The searching that we were talking about in the first remarks, I believe, is good if and when this searching is motivated by a sincere desire to find God's purpose for man's individual life. I'm convinced that God does have a purpose for every person's life. What God wants you to do and where God wants you to serve is something that you indeed must decide for yourself. And rest assured that you are making, as to the best of your ability, the steps along the journey of life that God wants you to make. But the real trouble comes when so many are searching for an unknown quality. The only thing they can see is a big X somewhere. They are searching for the unknown quality when God has made himself known to us in the pages of this book and by his Holy Spirit and in the person of his Son. Because many go through life searching for that unknown quality, they are consequently frustrated, fearful, and never coming to the full realization of the purpose for which they exist. And this is a tragic element in our society tonight. So many seem to have no sense of direction for their lives. They have no real starting point, and they have no objective toward which they are marching. It ought not to be this way. For God has given us guideposts all along the way to show us. From the prophet Isaiah, we have the words of God, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Now, I believe tonight that all of this matter of men and women and young people searching for the unknown quality, whatever and wherever it might be, in their imagination, in their mind, or whatever they grope for, this unknown quality, I believe all of this can be changed if and when men and women heed the word of my text from verse 13 of Jeremiah 29. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Too many people are half-heartedly seeking the purpose for their existence tonight. And consequently, they are only halfway being satisfied. I pointed out this morning that my message would be geared in at least one measure to the young people. And I'm glad that so many of our young people are here tonight, though it be a long weekend and some of them are gone out of town. Some of them have parents who are not concerned, so it doesn't matter whether it's Labor Day weekend or just an ordinary week. But they will be concerned one of these days. And they'll, in their tears and through their burdens and sorrows, wonder where the church failed. You know, the people who are wondering most what's wrong in the world today are the people that have taken this holy day for a holiday. They're the ones that are really wondering what's wrong in the world today. If they would but look inside, they would find a list of everything that's a matter in the world tonight. My message tonight is simply on seeking God. "And ye shall seek me, says the Lord, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." I would bring to your notice, first of all, that you should seek God in the early days of your life. Amen. A Sunday school teacher had once dealt with a young girl of senior high age about coming to know Christ as her Savior. The girl was quite interested and appreciated the effort on the part of the teacher. But she answered her something like this: "Well, I realize the importance of this, but sometime in my later years, in later life, when I have gone my way and lived as a young person wants to live, then in the closing days or latter days of my life, I will indeed give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, the Sunday school teacher was very much disturbed with that attitude. And may I stop here long enough to say, young man, young woman, mother, daddy, whoever you are, if that be your attitude, that someday, sometime, under some circumstance, somewhere, you will give your heart to God, you are engaged in foolish reasoning. This young girl said that she would someday, the teacher being very much disturbed, but on her way home from visiting this young girl, she stopped by a florist and she purchased a dozen beautiful red roses. She kept them in her home for about a week. By this time, they had become faded and withered. And then she wrapped them up neatly and sent them to this young lady. And the young lady, when the postman brought them, was much delighted that someone had thought of her to send her a package or gift. But when she opened the package and saw those almost dried up, withered, faded roses, she thought someone was playing a practical joke on her. But the next day, the faithful Sunday school teacher went by again. And the young girl related the experience of receiving the faded, withered roses. And said to the teacher, "I suppose that somebody was just trying to play a practical joke on me." "No," said the Sunday school teacher. "After our last visit together and you said to me that you in the latter days of your life would give your heart to Christ, after you had spent your life and your time and your energy for yourself, I decided that I would show you what your life might be after the smell of the rose is gone, and after the smell of purity is gone, and after the glistening and glittering eyes of youth are gone, your life will be like these roses, faded and withered and unwanted." And the young girl said, "Well, I had never thought about it that way. I will here and now give my life to Jesus Christ." I'm saying to you that you ought to seek God in the early days of your life. The golden text for this thought surely must be Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Remember in the days of thy youth, Jehovah God, thy Creator. What does youth represent tonight? Youth represents strength, vitality, potential, energy, stored up energy. Youth represents brains, administrative capabilities. Youth represents the strength and the power of tomorrow and the leadership of the coming generation. God forbid that our nation would ever be turned over to a generation the like of which we saw on television in Chicago this week. Paul Harvey called them fuzzy-faced, bearded beatniks. And like me, he's on the side of the police force. And if you're on the right side, you're on the side of the police force. God forbid that our nation would ever be turned over to those who demonstrate, and with their character and their conduct and their uncleanness, that our nation would ever be turned over to a group like this. That's why here at Worth Baptist, we want to train our young people in the ways of the Lord. It's not going to take on all of them. On some of you, it didn't take when you were young, though you were exposed to it. But it will on some of them. And the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. They may stray, but they will not stay. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." That's a challenge for the young people tonight. That not after you have spent your life and spent your talent and your time and your energy, but now. And all of these qualities of leadership ability, of strength, of vigor, of vitality, of talent, these will be channeled in one of two directions. They will either be directed toward the world, or they'll be directed toward the church and God and Christ. If indeed these qualities in young people are channeled and directed toward the world, They cannot have but one end: disappointment, disillusionment, and ultimately death. For Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." The prophet Ezekiel said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." James says, "Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The wise Solomon says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Young people, if you yield your lives to Satan, if you yield yourselves to the call of the world, if you are tonight marching to the drummer of Satan and the things of the world, it will end in death. And I know Satan paints a very attractive picture. Shame on us as adults and parents and elder statesmen within the community and within the church if we are not willing to give of our time and our money and our thought and our energy and our planning and our programming to the youth. Because they, if the Lord tarries his coming, are going to take over where we leave off. They're going to take over where and when we leave off. Let's give to the youth tonight what they deserve and what they need. For the devil is giving them more than he's ever given them before. He paints a pretty picture, young people, listen to me. And he will make the enticements and the temptations and the allurements of the world and worldly pleasures very attractive. But you know, the devil never does show you the last page in his chapter. He doesn't show you the misery and woe of sin. He doesn't show you the grimy hand of death that sin will bring to your life, the heartache, the woe, and misery of the seeds of sin that are sown. So I say, if these qualities in youth are directed toward the world, they end in death. But on the other hand, if they are directed toward God and toward Christ and toward the church, they result in peace and joy and happiness and eternal life in the world to come. Now, young people, don't ever think for a moment that attending Sunday school and church and being a Christian is reserved for sissies only. This is the line of Satan. It's the lie of Satan. And Satan is a liar from the beginning. Satan does not tell the truth. He makes it look good, he makes it sound good, but he is a liar. Jesus said he was. And that's good enough for me. If indeed then we have the idea that going to Sunday school and going to church and living a Christian pure life is for sissies, we're mistaken. What about John Glenn, the astronaut, who has a testimony for Christ? What about Bobby Richardson, the famed baseball star? A born-again believer. What about such men as Bill Glass, the pro football player, or Fran Tarkington, another pro football player? You think these men are sissies? Don't get in their way if you think they're sissies. Or what shall I say about Glenn Cunningham, who holds from long time ago the world's title for champion runner? Or what shall I say about Billy Casper, the pro golfer? Or such bright musical stars as Tony Fontaine? These are people with talent. These are people that God uses on the football field, on the entertainment stage, out there in astronauts and the government and in all areas of our society and our world. They are shining lights for Christ wherever they are. And they are not weaklings. They are not uneducated and unlearned. They are not sissies. They are heroes for Christ. And I'm saying to you, young people, that you can be proud to take your place in this society as a born-again believer. And I know at times there'll be some heartbreak along the way. And I know out there in the school and out there on the job, wherever you are, that some will look down on you and they'll sneer and snicker and laugh and poke fun at you. But remember this, he who laughs last, laughs loudest. And though they might do all of these things in the end, they will respect you for standing for your beliefs and your convictions. And you will never stand alone. For Jesus said, I will go with you. And I believe that means in the classroom. I believe that means out there in the office, on the sports field. I believe it means everywhere that we go. Jesus Christ has promised to go with us. Young people, hear me. When I say you can fulfill your mission in life only as you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can take your place in our society, proud to be numbered among those who claim Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe God needs some more Christian athletes and Christian doctors and lawyers and businessmen and professional men. And you as young people have a message from God tonight because God is speaking to you. You want to know what God is saying to you? From Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, God is saying, honor thy father and thy mother, that the days upon the land that the Lord thy God hath given thee shall be lengthened. Honor thy father and thy mother. When Paul writes to young Timothy about the difficult and trying days of the end time, he names as one of the cardinal sins disobedience to parents. A French diplomat asked the mother of George Washington on one occasion, how is it that you have given to the world such a splendid son? And George Washington's mother answered, I taught him to obey. I taught him to obey. Children and young people, God is speaking to you. Honor thy father and thy mother. From Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, God says, my son, keep the commandments of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Keep the commandments of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And again from Solomon's pen in Proverbs 13:1, a wise son, listen to this now, young men and young women, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. You know what that makes you? If you do not hear your father's instruction, that makes you unwise. There's an opposite side to this. If those who are wise listen to their mothers and daddies, those who do not are unwise. Honor thy father and thy mother. And as you honor mother and daddy, you honor home. You honor the church. You honor Christ. You honor Christianity. You should seek God in the early years of your life. I am somewhat disturbed when I think about young people going into colleges and universities today, because so many of the professors have denied the truth of God's Word. I'm glad that we have begun a junior college where they can be trained in an atmosphere and by faculty members who believe the Word of God is the Word of God. And I think we ought to be proud of it tonight. And you young people, as you go out into the universities and colleges and meet with some who have thought themselves to be wise, and Paul says thinking they're wise, they've become fools, they've become blinded to the truth. And they'll write their books and they'll have their textbooks that are accepted by the colleges and universities that sneer at the Word of God and claim it's only fairy tales and it's not true. Tom Paine was held in that class, and he was honored and revered by the British government, by the French government, and by the American government. And he wrote a book called The Age of Reason. Many Bible-believing Christians call this the atheist Bible, The Age of Reason, in which he denounced religion and decried the things of God and put forth his agnostic, atheistic viewpoints. But on his deathbed, here's what he said. I would give worlds if I had them if the Age of Reason had never been published. He called on Christ at the end. Here's what he said. Oh Lord, help me. Christ, help me. Stay with me. It is hell to be left alone. The wisest of men are men who have anchored their faith in Jesus Christ and in this word. They may not have all of the wisdom of the world. They may not have the degrees behind their names, but they've got something in their heart. And when God measures a man, young woman, young man, listen to me. When God measures a man, whether he's a preacher or professor or plumber or painter or whatever he might be, God puts the tape around his heart and not around his head.
Amen.
You ought to choose Christ. You ought to seek God in the days of your youth. Secondly, and this includes all of us, you should seek God in whatever circumstances you find yourself. People have been in varying circumstances in the record of God's word. You tonight have an unconditional promise from God that if you seek Him and search Him with all your heart, you'll be found of Him. You'll find Him out. Jonah was in an unusual circumstance. He was in the belly of a whale, but he sought God. He prayed to God, and God answered his prayer. The Hebrew children were in a fiery furnace, unusual circumstances, but they sought God, and God delivered them. Daniel was in a very unusual circumstance. You know, it's not every day that a man gets thrown in a den of lions. This is somewhat unique within itself. But Daniel, from a den of lions, called upon God, and God heard him, and God spared him and delivered him. King Hezekiah of Judah was on his deathbed, and the Assyrian armies were at the gates of Jerusalem, 185,000 strong. And Hezekiah, the king of Judah, turned his face toward the wall and prayed and sought God, and God answered him. And God turned the sundial back 10 degrees and said to Hezekiah, I'm going to spare your life 15 years. Hezekiah sought God in unusual circumstances. Two Baptist preachers sought God in unusual circumstances. Paul and Silas in a jail, fastened with chains. But they didn't let that stop them praying. You know, a lot of people, when they get in hard circumstances, they turn to everything else first. Let's turn to God. Let's seek God. Let's cry out unto Him in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, and we have the unconditional promise that the same God who delivered Jonah, and the same God who delivered the Hebrew children, and the same God who delivered Daniel, and the same God that delivered Hezekiah, and the same God that delivered Paul and Silas is able to deliver you. Our theme is, our God is able to deliver you. Seek Him in whatever the circumstances are of your life. Hard times, difficult times, amidst domestic problems, financial problems, mental problems, health problems, whatever the problems are, seek Him. And if you search for Him with all your heart, His promise is that you'll find His help. Seek Him in all the circumstances of your life. And then may I remind you in the third place that you should not only seek God in the early days of your life and in whatever circumstances might govern your life, you ought to seek God N-O-W, now. Listen to God's word from Proverbs chapter 1. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Listen to it now. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. I said that you ought to seek God now, while God is near. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And from Hebrews 3:7-8, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Harden not your heart if you hear the voice of God. And in Luke 14:17, Jesus said, come, for all things are now ready. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Proverbs 28:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It's a dangerous thing to hear the call of God and turn a deaf ear to it. It is much more dangerous to not have heard than to hear and not heed the word of God. And Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. In view of all that God's word says, in view of the scriptures that I have given you and many others that I have not, I wouldn't have but one statement of advice for you. If you are here tonight without Jesus Christ, you ought to seek him early. You ought to seek him right now. If you are here tonight and you are searching for a church home, a place to serve God, because the time is short, you ought to seek that place of service. If you are here tonight as a church member and as a Christian, and you have not fully, completely committed and yielded your life to Christ, young or old, you ought to do so. You ought to seek God now, because today is the day of opportunity. Tomorrow, the day of grace may be over, and the door of opportunity may be forever closed. Seek God while you are young. Seek God in whatever the circumstances of your life are. Seek him now as we stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we pause before thee at the close of this service, as we offer our prayer of thanksgiving for all that thou hast already done, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to search within our hearts and to give us what we need to know and understand thy will, to seek thee early, to seek thee now, to seek thee in our youth, to seek thee while we can find thee, to seek thee, Heavenly Father, with all our heart, all the days of our lives. May we so seek thee even in this moment. Should there be those here without Christ, may they come to know him. Should there be those, Heavenly Father, who need a church home, may they come into Worth Baptist Church tonight. Should there be those, Heavenly Father, who need to come to an altar of prayer and dedicate themselves to thee and get the uneasiness and the problems in their lives and hearts solved once for all, may they come tonight and seek thee, even calling upon thy name while thou hast promised to hear in this day of grace. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for Jesus' sake.